John, the 14th chapter. Starting at the 18th verse in the King James Version of the Bible. John 14, 18 through 26. Help me, Holy Spirit. The Word of God reads, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Key verse. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest." Everyone say manifest. "I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send," say this with me, "in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." I want to speak to you today from the very simple title, The Presence of God. The Presence of God. Amen. I must say that I wrestled with this message because there was something else that I wanted to teach, and the Lord just kind of said, you know, teach from where you are. So no matter what I was doing, he just kept nudging me back. And he just would not let me go, so it took me a minute to get here. And it's also because this particular subject is something that I know that I have experienced, Rachel. But I've not mastered how to explain what I have experienced. So please pray for me this morning. Amen? Amen. If you were with us last week in Bible study, some of you who were online, you will remember that as much as I wanted to participate in the Bible study with Brother Rick and our main teacher, Pastor David Boxton, I couldn't do that because while the Bible study was happening, I had somewhat of an emergency that I had to handle when it came to one of my children. And I had to make a choice between being one of the commentators, as I usually do, or doing my job as a dad. And since my child had an immediate need and was banging on the door while I was doing a Zoom, I had chosen to be a dad. I'm a single parent, and this is, as I've told you many times, this is what I do now. But as I was thinking in that moment, I was saying to myself, it sure would be great if I could be in more than one place at one time. Like duplicating myself. Amen. I could tend to the needs of my child, and I can also attend the Bible study that I was supposed to be in. Amen. Now, the only person, the only one, let me say that the right way. The only one who can actually do that is God. But he doesn't do that by mass producing himself. Amen? God does something that is actually really amazing. God is everywhere at the exact same time. Amen? And this is not because he has some superhero special ability. God is everywhere at the same time because that's just who God is. Amen? God is, say this with me, omnipresent. Amen. Real briefly, give me Psalm 139. I'm going to switch translations just a little bit just to kind of make it a little simple for us. Psalm 139, the New Living Translation. 7 through 10, Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Amen. All right, and the word of God reads, I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Let me say this to you, and I've made this statement before because I see a few new people here, so I want to kind of level set everyone so we're on the same page here. We obviously know that God's presence is in heaven. Amen? We know that God's presence is on the earth. As we just discussed, he is omnipresent. God's presence is in the known and unknown universe. I don't care what they tell you that they found next week. God is already there. Amen? Don't be tricked. But did you know that God is also in the place of the dead? Or hell, or Sheol, or whatever your doctrinal end time afterlife, you know, position may be. God is there. I said to you before, the one person that all of hell is trying to evict is the presence of God. Because that's where he is giving everlasting judgment. If hell is a place, and hell is somewhere, and God is everywhere, God is also even there. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because everywhere means everywhere. Amen? Jonah had a meeting with God and had received special orders to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the people there. But since Jonah only wanted his nation, his people, to be blessed by God, he refused and he decided to go book a trip someplace else where he thought he could outrun the presence of God. And we know the story. Jonah, you know, comes into an understanding that God, who is everywhere at the same time, God is seeing everything that Jonah is doing while he's planning it. Amen. And you know how we do. You know, God sees it all. You know how we do. We get online, and we get our frequent flyer miles together, and, you know, we book ourselves a trip because, you know, we want to go someplace where, you know, we want to do something that we have no business doing. So nobody can see where we are. But the truth of the matter is we may be out of the view of people, but we are never out of the view of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jonah, you know, books his trip to Tarshish when he's supposed to be on his way. Matter of fact, if I'm correct, he's supposed to be on his way to Nineveh. Amen. He's going in a complete opposite direction of where God told him to go. And we know the story. There's a big giant fish that swallows Jonah up. And 3 days later, he ends up on the shore of Nineveh doing exactly what God told him to do in the first place. Amen. But what I'm saying here is that there is nowhere that the believer or unbeliever can go to get around the presence of a God who is everywhere at the same time. Amen. Now, hold that thought there, and let's just think of it this way. Some of us take the idea that God is everywhere, and it causes us to be very cautious in how we live. Amen? It's a scary thought, knowing that there is nowhere to run from the presence of the Lord. Amen. So, because we understand this, we live in a way where we respect, at least, the omnipresence of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the right way to say that. Why? Because we know that God is watching. You know what you doing? He's there. You know? Okay? But some of us, especially in some of our younger days, if we're totally honest, amen, because the omnipresence of God is a concept that we are used to, it became so familiar to us that we took it for granted. that God is everywhere, but because he doesn't immediately make his presence felt, we got comfortable, amen, to the point to where we felt or feel, depending on where you are, like we could do anything. We've been in church all our lives, maybe, and we've been taught certain doctrinal positions about the omnipresence of God, and so we intellectually understood that God was everywhere, but because we did not mature in our hearts towards God, we were okay with doing things right in the face of God. If we're being totally honest. Amen? So what I'm saying here, saints, what I really want to say is, and just kind of put this in your mind for a minute, there is a difference between knowing that God is everywhere, and there is a difference between experiencing intimacy with the God who is everywhere. What I'm talking about is a difference between the omnipresence of God versus the manifest presence of God. They both exist, but the manifest presence of God is the thing that changes you. Amen? It's not just something we know about. It's something that we're supposed to experience. Amen? We're good? All right. So we're going to, before we turn to John again, we're going to just briefly go to this little scripture, and I'm going to change translations just so you can get an understanding of what we're saying here. James 4:8, real quick, and then we'll go into our main text. This is what I set us up here. All right. The word of God says, it's on the screen, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Some of us know that as, you know, in the King James, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you, right? So if God is everywhere, here's the question. If he's already everywhere, why must you draw near to someone who's everywhere? Good question. I believe that when you understand this, you understand the difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. Amen? Drawing near to God, let me just say this so we can set us up. Drawing near to God brings you to a place of communion with him, and it's a place where you find everything that you need. You find joy. You find grace. You find strength. You find peace, everything you need. But guess what else you find? You find conviction. You find repentance. Amen. All of these things, and even more, are in the manifest presence of God that you do not immediately get when you're in the omnipresence or aware of just the fact that God is everywhere. Amen? Rick is back there going crazy. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. All right, now, John 14:18-26, King James, here we go. Whew. Okay, Lord, help me, God. The word of God reads, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, and ye shall live also. What's happening is Jesus is explaining to his disciples, the people that have been running with him, that he's getting ready to leave the planet. Amen? And they are concerned. They're losing their friend. They're losing the most amazing thing, an amazing experience that they've ever had in their life. Amen? And Jesus is saying, oh, don't worry. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't leave you comfortless. Amen? I will come to you, yet a little while. And the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. The world won't be able to see me in a minute, but you will see me. And because I live, you shall live also. What is he saying? Jesus is promising that even after the crucifixion, his death, his burial in the tomb, he's saying that I'm going to get up and I'm going to rise again and you will see me. The world, interesting fact here, the world or the unbelievers, when it says that Jesus appeared to 500, he didn't appear to folks that didn't believe. He appeared to witnesses. Credible witnesses, folks that were believers, will go out and spread the word that Jesus is showing up alive. Amen? So he's saying, ooh, bring it back, Lord, bring it back. He's saying that I will rise from the dead and you will see my resurrected body. Amen. You will see me again. Amen. This is Jesus manifesting himself to his disciples, the believers, in his physical sense. Amen? And that's good because the whole of Christianity is hanging on the fact that he got up. Amen? We need that. But he says there's something even more. Amen? There's something even better than seeing me with your eyes alive. What is that? Well, verse 20, next verse. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father and ye are in me. At that day, I believe, and many scholars agree, that at that day is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, amen, and the tongues of fire and the rushing mighty wind, the sound of the Holy Spirit's entrance, amen. When he came, they believe that day is a day that you will believe that I am in my Father. You will never doubt now that I am in my Father, and you will also believe that you are in me. You will know that we are connected. Why? Because the Holy Spirit that I promised to you, he has come. Amen. The resurrection was proof that Jesus was in the Father and that the Father was in the Son. But it was also proof to the believers in form of their life example that Jesus Christ, the very life of Christ, was now being deposited into the believer, communicated by the Holy Spirit himself. In other words, what he's saying here is they would begin to know what it meant to live in God, and they would understand what it meant for God to live in them. Amen? Amen. Hang with me. Now, here's the key verse. Verse 21. He says then, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me. You love God because we keep his commandments. We know that. And then he says, and he that loveth me, keep the thought, keeping his commandment, shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And then here's that word. And I will manifest myself to him. Amen. You hear me? Now, because it's easy to see this in a certain way, Rachel will say, oh, I'm not keeping his commandment, I guess there'll be no manifestation. Because I slip up and I mess up and I don't do everything right. Well, just in case you want to take that the very legalistic way, I want to just show you the very same verse in a slightly different translation. I'm not glorifying the Living Translation. I just want to make it very clear, okay? Same verse, John 14, 21, Living Translation. He says this, those, yes, who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and reveal myself to each of them. Wow. You see that? So he's saying those who accept that God's word is true, that the Son's word is true, that believe on Jesus Christ, amen, those who are saved and who are trusting in his word and accept that it's true, even though they may not live it perfectly. Amen. How many perfect people we have in our church? Good. I didn't think so. But even though they don't do it perfectly, they have a made up mind that God's commands are to be followed. I messed up. I I do mess up. I will mess up. But my heart is fixed and my mind is made up. See the difference? So it's not a legalistic thing where I blew it and now all of a sudden I'm out of the will of God and the promises of God and now there's no manifestation, there's no revelation of who Jesus is. No, what it is saying is there is a decision that says, you know what? I know he's right. I know this is the truth. And I, even though I don't always, you know, do exactly what God has called me to do and I need his grace and his mercy, I believe it's true, and I'm going to do what God called me to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. All right, back to King James. Judas, verse 22 says this. 14, 22. Yeah, very good. Go ahead, Keisha. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not Judas Iscariot, not the one that betrayed, a different disciple. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? He's still thinking with his human mind and not in the spirit, okay? He's thinking about the physical representation of Jesus. Jesus is going around showing everybody that he's alive. How are you going to manifest yourself to the world, I mean to us, and not the world? If we see you, they can see you, okay? All right. He's not understanding that it's the Holy Spirit living inside the believer that makes Jesus known to the hearts and minds of those who obey him. Amen? Who trust in his word. Really quickly, 23. Verse 23 says this. Jesus answered him, said unto him, he says, if a man, again, love me, he will keep my words, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode, our home, in him, amen, or with him. We will make ourselves at home comfortable in the believer, amen. We'll be able to rule and reign in that believer who is keeping the commandments that I've given, amen. They will want to obey my words, amen. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Here's the contrast. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He's saying that the unbeliever or the folks that are caught in the world system who have not been snatched out of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the marvelous light, he's saying those who do not keep his commandment will never know the manifest presence of God. They will know that God is everywhere. They might, you know, believe that God is in this place or that place, but they will never have the revelation of who God really is. Amen? Why? Because even if Jesus Christ showed up in the flesh and hit them in the head with a King James Bible, they still won't want to do what Jesus said because they don't love him. They don't keep his commandments. So he's saying that if you don't keep my commandments, you will get no revelation of who I really am. You are locked out of the revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Only those who are born again have been given the desire, the want to follow Jesus as their Lord and Master. Some people love him as Savior, but they don't love him as Lord. Amen. Only those who have been born again have been graced with the ability, the miracle of grace, because you and I know ourselves. We know good and well that we did not want to follow Jesus before. Something changed. Something happened. I remember how I was, and there was one day when I was this way, and there was another way when I was going in a completely different direction, and I cannot explain it. I know I didn't do it. I know me. Okay. It's the miracle of grace. Amen? You have been graced with the ability to follow Jesus. Wow. Verse 25. Almost done here. These things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you. He's saying, I'm telling you this while you can see me. Okay? Again, this is speaking to the physical manifestation of Jesus. But he's saying in the very next verse, there's something even better. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Amen. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Now, I had you speak or say the words in my name. When you see the phrase in my name coming from God, that means the Holy Spirit is pointing to someone. He's pointing to Christ. Amen? The Holy Spirit is saying, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. The Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son. What do you, come on. He's saying that the Holy Spirit represents the interest of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his interest alone. In other words, the manifest presence of God is where you see the main agenda of the Holy Spirit, and he does not have any other agenda but to point us to his Son. Okay? If the Holy Spirit had a mission statement, it would simply be to make those who believe in Christ more and more conform to the image of Christ. If the Holy Spirit had an iPhone and you can look at his calendar, you would see in his schedule, all he is trying to do more than anything else is convert Matt into the image of Jesus Christ. Get Beverly to act more and more like Jesus Christ. Get Sid to respond more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what he does. He doesn't do more than that in any other area. What he's after more than anything else is that you and I look like the one whose name he represents. Okay. Are you getting it? So keep asking God for that Bentley. He may give it, but not more than he's trying to give you his image. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody. All right. His name means his character. So in not the omnipresence of God, but in the manifest presence of God, the Holy Spirit reveals to you who Christ is, and he empowers you to be more and more like him. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. We know that to mean in the written word of God. Amen. Amen. We also know that to mean in an experiential sense, where the word of God that has been implanted in you comes up out of you because you're in the manifest presence of God. The only folks that can do that are those who are believers. Amen? Okay? All right. Now, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now, this is not just information, saints. This is a life-changing experience of being in the manifest presence of God. The disciples spent time with Jesus, and they were never the same because they were in the presence of Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit came, and their lives were changed forevermore. They were never the same after that. People knew that they were regular folks, regular fishermen and tax collectors and sinners, just like everybody else. Amen. But the people had to testify. And there's a scripture that says they knew that they had been with Jesus. Amen. Amen. So it was not just because they recognized them hanging out with Jesus, but it was because signs and wonders were being done Amen. Later on, by them, and signs and wonders follow them. Why? Because they had been bearing fruit, John 14, abiding in the vine. Amen. And so they were spending time with Jesus, and what was coming out or coming from Jesus had been deposited in them, and what's been deposited in them was flowing out to others. Amen. Now, it's the same thing with you and I as modern day believers. We sit not in the omnipresence of God, but in the manifest presence of God. Amen. And when we are intimate with God, signs and wonders follow. Amen. Folks will recognize and remember what you were. Amen. But they will be amazed by what God has done and how he has changed you. Amen. What I'm saying, saints, is when you date Jesus and spend time with Jesus and spend time in the love of God, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal secrets about who Christ is. Amen. And you begin to understand who he is. And then furthermore, you begin to understand who you really are. I'm teaching today. Just like when you're with your mate and you're up close with them. Folks woke up now. There are things that you know about your mate that nobody else knows. Because they are not privileged to this information. They don't have access to this private information. Why? Because they have not been intimate with you or intimate with your mate. Only you know certain secrets. Amen. You should know that when God shows up, saints, he has a purpose. He wants to engage you in order to change you. So the manifest presence of God is different because he explains to you who God is, and it's for a specific purpose, so that you will be more like Christ. He engages you to change you. Amen. God's manifest presence draws your attention to God's holiness and his love, first and foremost. God's holiness makes you aware of your sin. Amen. And God's love draws you to a place of repentance. He does this to empower, to encourage, to transform areas in your life so they will be more like Christ. There are things in your closet, areas that we keep from God, places with restriction tape on the front of them. And the Lord is saying, let me up in there, because you can't stay that way. Amen. That's what the manifest presence of God does. Not to give you some goosebump experience and then let you go on your merry way. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, a lot of folks talk about, you know, the manifest presence of God. The guy, you know, the manifest, ooh, I was in the manifest, God was here. You might feel excited and overwhelmed with joy at a particular church service and express your thanks to God by shouting and tearing up a church, running, dancing before the Lord. And some people would say, because you ran and you danced and you fell out all over the place, that obviously God was in this place. The Lord met us here. Well, yes, he did, because he's everywhere. I mean, where else did he go? Are you following me? Hang with me. Yes, God is everywhere. But was that really his manifest presence? What I'm saying is we got to be careful with that, saints. Just because someone sang or preached you happy doesn't mean that God's manifest presence was there. Uh-oh. Because I've seen several times in several instances in several programs, I'm a Hawkins, okay? So we do concerts, for crying out loud. Okay? You know, so here's the thing, saints. You know, folks can have a Holy Ghost fit, and after they had the Holy Ghost fit, they left the service with the same character that they came in with. they go from service to service, conference to conference, looking for an experience to excite them, but never seem to run into an experience that changes them. No. So, if that was a move of God, coming from his manifest presence, how is it that you were there and experiencing all that and you are still the same? No, carrying on the same foolishness that you did last week. Carrying on the same foolishness that you did the week before that, the month before that, the year before that. When you experience the manifest presence of God, it's going to change you. Moses was very comfortable being a shepherd for several years. He was out there at Midian, remember? Running from Pharaoh, hiding out. Amen. And then one day, he had an encounter with the manifest presence of God. And God spoke to him through a burning bush and then told him, be careful, take your sandals off. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Amen? God told him the place that you're standing on is holy ground. After one conversation, one moment of intimacy with the Lord in his manifest presence, Moses went from being a shepherd to a deliverer in one encounter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't say that Moses, after he got through talking to the Lord, he got up, started shouting, and someone got in the organ, and we had a fit. No, that's not what it says. It says, the scripture says that he went from that place and went and told Midian and all those people, I got to go. I can't stay here no more. Something has to change. Are you hearing me? I can't be here no more. I can't do that anymore. Something has to change. I'm in the manifest presence of God. I've experienced God, not just God everywhere, but God in a personal sense. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praising God and responding to God with praise. That's right, and that's fitting. We should praise God, you know, and rejoice in the Lord. We should shout. What I'm saying is that if there's a move of God, a real move of God, then there will be results in your life that bear fruit. Amen? You will become more like Christ. And Christ left us, he left us an example. Christ was obedient to his Father. So how you know that you really experienced the manifest presence of God and not just tears and snotting and crying and rolling? You will know because something is changing in you. Is this making just real simple sense? Amen. Now, this can happen, saints, at a church service with no organ. A church service with organ. Or it could be in the privacy of your own home. It happened to me. I was at home changing Jamie's diaper. I'll never forget it. Jamie's a baby. I was lifting him up, and during that time, when I was changing him, I was thinking to myself, I said, you know what? I've been addicted to porn since I was 7 years old. And it's destroying me. And I can't beat it. It's got me in a chokehold. And I am subject to do the enemy's bidding. And that thing would drag me all over from place to place looking for something I should not be even looking at. It wrecked me. I lost a whole decade and some change to that demon. And I could not get free. So I called out one day to the Lord. I said, I'm tired. I'm sick of me. I'm sick of this thing between you and I is causing distance. Like, you know, I try to close a gap and then here it comes again and it calls me and I'm powerless. I cannot free myself. Huh? I knew it was wrong. I knew that God could see me because I knew he was everywhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I couldn't get free. There were chains on my neck. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My sin was dragging me to do what Satan wanted me to do whenever he wanted me to do it. Oh, somebody, can we be honest? Huh? Has anybody ever been trapped? Has anybody been stuck in something and you don't know how to get out? And you're powerless and you don't know how to get out? You cannot get free with the omnipresence of God. You're going to need the manifest presence of God. I prayed and I felt the power come into the room. Amen. And suddenly I could get free from what I couldn't get free from in an instant. I felt it leave. I'm telling you, he delivered me, saints. Huh? 15 years and running. And I ain't going back. Not because of me, not because, oh, God is everywhere, but because the manifest presence of God met me where I was, and he set me free from myself. My daddy had a song, "What is this that makes me do right when I would do wrong? What is this?" Huh? My mama sang a song, "Holy One, I never want to let you down no more." That is the Holy Spirit. That's the manifest presence of God. I know I'm not the only one. I was never the same, saints. Give me James 4 and 8 again. James 4 and 8, in the living. Come close to God. You see it? And God will come close to you. There it is. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Huh? I prayed. I said, God, I'm done with this. Please deliver me. And God came right on in the room. That's how he does, Dave. Huh? How many years, Dave, from drugs?
32.
Come on now. Anybody else been delivered? Anybody else got a testimony? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Watch this, saints. In the burning bush experience, God gave Moses instructions. He said, tell that Pharaoh, who thinks he is God, to let my people go. Why? Because I want to meet with them on Mount Sinai. Before they got into the promised land, God said, we need to have a meeting first. I'm going to tell you who I am. And I'll talk about that next week. But he said, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to have a meeting with you. Amen. God delivered Israel out of the clutches of Egypt and that system and Pharaoh, who represents Satan. Not just so they can go and get some land. No. Not just so they can divide up Canaan. No. First stop. We need to meet on Mount Sinai. I want to reveal to you who I am. You see that? And the manifest presence showed up on Mount Sinai. Amen. A lot of times you will see God say in scripture, and I'm done, I am the God that delivered you from Egypt. You see that over and over again, right? You know, that's his introduction statement. He said, go ahead and praise me now. I'm going to jog your memory first before we have this conversation. I want you to know and remember what I did for you. Amen? Amen. I am the God that delivered you. Translation, I'm the God that rescued you. I'm the God that set you free from that no good you know what. I'm the God that got you out of that crew that you was running with. I'm that God. Huh? I'm the God that I delivered you from what you thought you couldn't get away from. I remembered you. I delivered you from that whole crew. I delivered you from everything. I'm the one. Huh? I'm the God that delivered you. Not just so you can go and get some stuff, but so you can come to Mount Sinai and meet with me. and know who I am. Huh? Get an understanding, get a revelation of who I am so you will know who you are. Are you hearing me? Huh? Cause you to open up your mouth and give praise to me, to honor me. It's the best thing you could do with your life. Huh? Why? Because I want you to know me. I don't deliver you just so you could just run around and do whatever. I deliver you and give you my manifest presence. Why, saints? So you can meet with me, so you will know who I am. I delivered you to bring you to myself. So, here's a question. When you come to church, are you even expecting the manifest presence of God? When you're at home in your private devotion and you read your Bible, are you even expecting the manifest presence of God? Huh? Here's another one. Are you even open to God telling you what he wants to say? Huh? Because it's those who obey his commandments that get the revelation. Not those who just hang around in the perimeter. Huh? Not those who just understand that God is everywhere. It's those who are actually actively seeking an experience with the Lord. Not chasing some kind of, you know, situation where it's got to be this way all the time while I roll on the floor. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you, saints, is simply this. I'm looking for you to impart into me who Jesus Christ is so I can start being like my Lord and Savior. That's the difference. I'm done.